And I don't know, probably something to eat. I don't know why that's on my mind, but I want you to look at Isaiah 55, coincidentally enough. Isaiah 55 and verse number 2. Isaiah 55 and verse number 2. And if you will allow me, I don't want to give the context here. I do want to try to apply these words of God to us. And we'll share the context in another setting because it is a beautiful, powerful setting. But look at this and try to put your life in this. Is that okay? Just try to put your life. Maybe you can't, but if you can, it may be something you can gain from. Isaiah 55 and verse 2, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor," everybody say Labor Day. Hopefully you're not laboring tomorrow, but "you labor for that which satisfieth not." You're working, you're spending money, you're spending time, and you're not getting a whole lot out of it. And God says, "Hearken diligently unto me, listen to me, and eat ye that which is," this is a perfect verse for a church picnic. I'm going to dismiss you and I'm going to preach this next Sunday because it says, eat, three or four people just left. It was just a joke, folks. It says, "Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." I wish it said, "Let your belly delight itself in fatness," because that would be all the direction I need. But what a promise from God that if you have been working it and you're still not satisfied, turn to Him. And He will feed your soul. He will bless your life. I feel like God wants to bless somebody today. And I have a message, and God's going to speak. It's going to sound so crazy that you're going to think, I don't know if God could speak through that. But you know, He spoke through a donkey. So don't underestimate God. You can underestimate me, but God can get His word through anything. And this is what came to me on the occasion of Labor Day weekend. Now I'm going to try to preach, take this job and dot, dot, dot. I can't really say what some of y'all are thinking because my mother's in the audience and she don't talk like that. But take this job and dot, dot, dot. You'll have to fill in the blank yourself. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Really, I know we're having fun, but God's got a word for us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I trust you right now for miracles to happen in this service. I know you've got a word for your people, Lord, and we are ready for you to speak. God, I believe that at the end of this message, Lord, at some point between now and the last amen, somebody's going to receive their healing. Somebody's going to receive their blessing. Somebody's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost by the authority of the Word of God, by the power that is in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the Lord would rebuke every distracting spirit, every spirit of doubt, every hindering spirit, that we would be united and focused on what you have for us. There would be an expectation for the supernatural. I wonder if everybody that can would just clap their hands and shout with their voice. Praise God in the spirit right now. God bless you. You may be seated. It's Labor Day weekend, and some of you love your jobs, and some of you might even just hate work altogether. I mean, from the time you were a kid, you didn't even want to take out the trash, and from then till now, you just don't even want to think about work, and you're independently wealthy, so it doesn't matter. And I thank God for His blessings upon your life. I have grown up with faith four jobs. This is not something I'm making up for this message, but I have seen God bless in regarding jobs. I remember preaching a message. I noticed on the front row, there was a man that was obviously not impressed with my message at all, wasn't really impressed with the whole service, and that's fine. I was just glad he was there. I went up to him in the altar time. He was standing right there on the front row, and I just looked at him, and I said, "Sir, is there anything that God could do for you that if God did it, you'd say, 'Wow, man, God is real. I need to give my life to him.'" And he looked at me and said, "I need a job." So I took him by the hand. I prayed, "Lord Jesus, help my friend here get a job in Jesus' name and help him to come back and give you praise." The very next week, he had a job. He came back and testified. Now, on this occasion, that second week, there was another individual. I said, "Well, it worked the first time. Let me try again." I said, "Is there anything God could do for you that if he did it, you'd say, 'Man, then God's really powerful'?" He said, "I need a job. I already had faith, you know." That ought to be a lesson to all of us. If you've seen God do anything for anybody else, he can do it for you today. Amen. If God's answered your prayer before, he can answer your prayer right now. And sure enough, I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to get you that job. You come back next week, and you live for God." Sure enough, I prayed. The next week, he got the job. He got the job. Now, if you come up here and pray for a job, I want to pray for you today. Don't come right now. Let me get through my job, and then we'll go for that. Now, a while later, I mean, this was quite some time later, there was a lady. Because I'm thinking, this is cool. People get jobs, they come to church, and everybody lives happily ever after. She said, "You know, I've been needing a job for months." I said, "I'm going to pray for you. You're going to get a job." She was very educated, but she had tried and could not get a job. She got a job that next week, and then she stopped coming to church. Because she had such a good job, she didn't have time to come to church. I wish I could have said, "Take that job and dot, dot, dot." Because no job is worth losing your connection with the church. I know sometimes we miss, but you understand what I'm saying. But it was just interesting to me that that had happened. There were times that I have needed jobs, and I remember one particular time I was paying for college. I needed a job, and I didn't know where to get a job, so I was going everywhere you might go to get a job. I walked into this one particular store, the huge, huge department store, maybe 8 or 9 stories, and on that particular day, unbeknownst to me, that store was having what they call an open house, and the vice presidents were interviewing people for jobs. There's like 6 or 7 of these VIPs, and they were interviewing people just off the street. So I walked in, sat down with a guy that was a vice president of something, and he said, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I am going to college to study for the ministry." Well, he said, "That's interesting." He said, "I always wanted to be in the ministry." And we had this conversation that went on about 20, 25 minutes about the things of God, about the ministry. And then he said, "Well, why are you here?" "I need money to pay for college. I want to go back and study for the ministry." He took out this book about this thick, filled with jobs in that company. He started turning pages, and he literally said, "Well, what about this?" He'd read the description. I said, "What else you got?" Till finally, he found a job that was way more than I'd ever made per hour in my life. It was a commission as well as for that. And you know, I could wear a jacket and tie every day and act like I was somebody. Even got business cards. I said, "I don't have any experience, but that sounds like the job for me." And he gave me the job. I hope somebody's getting a little faith here today. Hey, I believe in a God that answers prayer. I remember another time I was in a service and I was asking the Lord for some assistance because at that time I was working 3 jobs and I was starting to miss church. And while the preacher was preaching, I'm not making this up, he says this. He knew nothing about my situation. He said, "Some of you are working 2 and 3 jobs trying to get things done on your own, and you just need to put things in God's hand and do things his way." And it was like an arrow that pierced my soul, and God said, "He's talking to you." So there were 3 jobs, all right? I went to two of those other jobs and I said, take this job and dot, dot, dot. No, I gave my notice. I gave my notice because those jobs were keeping me out of church and all this. And the last job was a sales job. And in less than a few weeks, I was making more working part-time at the third job than I ever made at the three jobs put together. I'm trying to tell you, God answers prayer. You can do things God's way. On Labor Day weekend, why don't you take a few moments to come by the altar in a few minutes and say, God, I just want to make sure that my job or my career is not a separate part of my life, and then I've got church on Sunday. No. God, I want you to be the center of every part of my life, every part of my family, every part of my finances, every part of my future. Oh, if God's ever blessed you, as you clap your hands, would you thank Him? Would you thank Him? Now, I know it sounds like I'm just talking, but really I'm preaching. You just can't tell yet. So I want to tell you one more story because I feel like it'll help somebody. This is before I went to college, the space between high school and college. I got a construction job. I'm useless when it comes to construction, but it was a job. My brother and I together, we worked for this guy that was in business all for himself, and he said he would train us, and we worked. We had to drive close to an hour to get to work, and then we would work construction, drive an hour home. And I got to be honest with you, I mean, it would be nice for me to say I was saving up money to go to college, but I really wasn't. I was out of high school, and I just knew instinctively that there's no romance without finance. So I needed some money. I'm not trying to teach our young people anything right now. I'm just telling you what happened to me. So we got this job. My brother and I, we're working, we're learning. And really, I was still pretty pitiful. But we were helping this guy, and we were building houses. And so one day on the way to work, this was in the winter. It was cold. There was snow on the ground. This was in another state. I had this conversation with my brother on the way to work. I said, now, Robert, we've been at this for, a couple weeks now. I think it's time for a raise. Now, we had been going at it a little bit longer than that, but I said, what we need to do today, because look, Robert, it's just me and you and him. So if he loses us, he ain't got nothing. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to get there, and I'll be the spokesperson, and I'm going to say either you give us a raise or you can take this job and dot, dot, dot. My brother's like, okay, that sounds good, you know. So sure enough, we're working and it's the morning break. And I begin to talk and had my speech ready. And I gave the whole speech about how we drive an hour each way. And man, we're glad that you've been kind and give us a job. But we got to have a raise or you can take this job and dot, dot, dot. And so the boss turns to my brother, and he says, is that how you feel, Robert? Robert said, no, I feel great. I'm doing good. I love my job. That happened just like that. That guy fired me on the spot, gave my brother a raise, and he lived happily ever after. And that was the last time in my life I said, take this job and dot, dot, dot. Happy Labor Day, everybody. The musicians are coming. You got the rest of the day off. Nobody moves, so I'll go a little bit further. But I'm thinking about all this, and I feel like in the way that God speaks to me, He said, you need to remind somebody in that audience today that there are times that we labor and we are not satisfied. And I think the simple application that you have to kind of throw in here, because I think it's important in a setting like this that we remind people from Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? The world does not satisfy like Jesus. Sin does not satisfy like Jesus. And the old timers used to say, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Can I just say this on Labor Day weekend? Don't sacrifice Jesus for a relationship. Don't sacrifice Jesus for an education. Don't sacrifice Jesus for a career. If you do that, you are going to labor for that which satisfies not. I am not preaching against relationships, but I'm preaching for Jesus. I'm not preaching against an education, but I'm preaching for Jesus. I'm not preaching against careers, but on Labor Day weekend, I'm just saying, let Jesus be the center of every relationship. Let Jesus be the center of every part of your education. Let Jesus be the center of your career. And if anything or anyone starts to pull you away from Jesus, you need to say, take this job and ... because Jesus means more to me than anything. So that's important. But there was something else in all of this that God prompted me about. And you're going to have to write this down because it's profound. Nobody's reaching for a pen. Nobody's even grabbing their phone. Thank you. See, now here's a pastor that knows how to fake it till you make it. I'm just kidding. The rest of y'all can learn. No. If I was sitting up here, man, I'd be on the edge of my seat. What's he going to say? But here it is, okay? The Bible speaks of the works of the flesh. And I just want you just to allow me to fit this in on Labor Day. Here's what you want to write down. The works of the flesh are called the works of the flesh. You didn't write that down? You think you got it memorized? Oh, see that? What if I could talk to you just for a few moments about that part of your life where the Spirit is in control, and that's your work for the Lord. But then that part of your life where it seems like the flesh is in control, and that's the works of the flesh. And can I just suggest, and I feel like this is what God wanted me to share, that there are some times that our flesh would motivate us. It's like we get up in the morning and before you know it, we've clocked in and we're just consumed with the works of the flesh. It's like 9 to 5. It's our job. I gotta please my flesh. I gotta serve my flesh. Look with me just for a few moments. I think this will help us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're easy to see, if you will. I want to list these real quickly, but I don't want you to get bogged down with the list. But just so you'll know, things like adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you look at that list, and it may seem because it's framed in King James language that it just doesn't connect with you, but I'll give you one example. I could pick any of these. I may mention a few more, but you take, for instance, idolatry, which basically means excessive reverence or devotion to anything besides God. Well, you know, a hobby can become an idol. You know, a relationship can become an idol. I'm not preaching against hobbies. I'm not preaching against relationships, but I am preaching against that impulse that wants to get a hold of every single one of us. It's a natural inclination, a natural desire, and I want to describe it as though, you know, in the morning when you get up and you get in your car, you drive to that place of business, and hopefully tomorrow you don't have to do all that. There is something else happening in your life, and it's called the work works of the flesh. And whether it's on that list or it's something like that list, I feel like God wants somebody today to be liberated from those type of activities where it feels like you're punching in and punching out. Every morning I punch in my time clock, I'm depressed all day. I go home and go to bed and it seems like I've got a little reprieve, but the next morning it's the work of the flesh for me to be depressed all over again. I feel like God wants you to say today, take this job and dot, dot, dot. I will not be depressed anymore because I'm not going to be led about by the work of the flesh. I'm going to let my life be surrendered by the work of the Spirit, and God is going to give me a life that is satisfying. Oh, I think that'd be a good place for all of us to just show the Lord a little bit of expectation. You can do it for me. You can do it for my brother. You can do it for a neighbor. You can do it for a friend. You can give us what we need today. Praise God. I am suggesting that all of us that have a human nature will struggle with all kinds of attitudes and actions that if we were to put those things in a category, it could be labeled as working for the flesh. I mean, I could be a Christian, I could speak in tongues, I could be in church on Sunday, but here you go. Sure as I know my name, tomorrow it's going to hit me again. That impulse that says, you've got to work for the flesh today. You've got to do what pleases the flesh today. You've got to be driven with a passion to exhaustion. You've got to do what your flesh wants to do. And I am just saying, that kind of life doesn't satisfy. You take, for instance, someone with an addiction. They can't help it. They want to stop, but it's like punching in the time clock at work. Here they go, working in the flesh, working for the flesh. The flesh has got to have that next hit. The flesh has got to have that next high. So whatever I do today, I've got to work. I've got to scramble. I got to reach that point where I get that hit, and it never satisfies. And so here we're celebrating last weekend, over 30 that were filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. But let me tell you, it is more than just a one-time experience. It's an opportunity to say, I will not be driven to work for the flesh anymore. Instead, I'm going to wake up in the morning filled with the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. They're going to be my new employer. And today, I will not work for the flesh. I work for the Spirit. Man, if that's you, would you clap your hands and say, thank God I don't have to be a fornicator. Thank God I don't have to be an adulterer. Thank God I don't have to be eat up with envy. I can't be free. Praise God. Why labor for something that never satisfies? When God has come to this service with one agenda, and that is that He might fill us with His Spirit and lead us by His Spirit, so we do not have to work for the flesh anymore, so that we can literally say to the flesh, you know what? Take this job and dot, dot, dot. Can I just go ahead and say it once? Forgive me, mama. Take this job and shove it. I'm not going to work for the flesh. I'm not going to be eat up with bitterness. I'm not going to be led by lasciviousness. All I know is I've got the Holy Ghost. And instead of working for the flesh, I'm going to get in the presence of God and say, Jesus, today I don't work for the flesh. I gave my notice. Today I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to overcome the lust of the flesh. That's why the Holy Ghost is so awesome. That's why the Holy Ghost is so powerful, because you don't have to work for the flesh. Oh, I wonder if you could clap your hands and pray in the Spirit as if to say, God, pour out your Spirit on everybody so every one of us can be free from the works of the flesh, so every one of us can stop working for the flesh, so every one of us can say, I quit, no more working for the flesh. Amen. I'm just gonna throw out two examples, and it's just so you can say, wow, that's right, it makes sense, it's so easy. And you can apply your life, your circumstance, to a promise from God today that if you're working and you're not being satisfied, quit that job today and say, I'm gonna be led by the Spirit. I'm going to work for God. I'm not going to work for the flesh. I give an example. Is your full-time job envy? I mean, from the morning you work up, when you wake up, you punch in your time clock, and you're looking on social media, and you're thinking, why can't I have that house? Why can't I have that spouse? Huh? Why can't I have that vacation? Why can't I have that car? It's your job. Every day you clock in. You may have a nice family. You may have a good job, but it's clocking in, and envy is eating you up. You know what? You're working for the flesh, and that envy's never going to satisfy you. That envy, you know what you need to do is you need to bring that envy to the altar. Everybody else is going to be coming to the altar. Nobody's going to know what you're bringing or what I'm bringing, but when you come to the altar, you can say, take this envy and dot, dot, dot. I'm not working for you anymore. I'm going to give my life to the Spirit and say, Jesus, when I wake up tomorrow, I'm not going to reach for Facebook. I'm going to reach for the good book, and I'm going to ask you to fill my heart and mind with the knowledge of your will, because I'm working for the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm literally saying, start your day with prayer, saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. Why? Because I am tired of working for the flesh and never being satisfied. I got the home. I got the family. I got the kids. I even got the job. Even got a little bit of money to pay my bills, but I still feel so unsatisfied. So I want to quit working for the flesh, and I want to say, Jesus, I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, this one's a little bit personal in terms of when you talk about some subjects, everybody gets a little bit nervous. They don't want you to talk about that. But there is an epidemic of pornography in our culture because it's so accessible. And we shouldn't pretend that just because we go to church on Sunday that we don't have to fight our flesh. So I wonder if there's somebody here that lust is your part-time job. You're able to manage well, so the family and the kids and even your boss at work, they all seem like, well, you're a regular guy, you're a regular lady, everything seems to be fine. But in the evening, you got a part-time job. It's the work of the flesh. And you can't help it. You can't miss a day because you know that flesh will get after you. If you think you call in sick, it don't work that way. You've got the work of the flesh. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants you to know that will never satisfy you. The Lord doesn't want you to be heaped upon with guilt today, but he does want you to know his Spirit is powerful enough to set you free from that part-time job. You can say, I'm not working for the flesh anymore. Take that lust and shove it. I'm not working for the flesh anymore. All I know is I went to the altar and I got an overdose of the Holy Ghost, and not only that, I followed it up the next day with connecting with the Bible and with prayer. And then you know what I did? I got a hold of a godly leader and I said, you got to help me. You know, there's been a little struggle in my life. I'm not going to give you all the details, but I don't want to work like that anymore. I don't want to be consumed with that anymore. I wonder if everybody in the building would just raise their hands and lift their voices as if to say, God's going to set us free today. God's going to set us free today. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, I don't have to work for the flesh anymore. There's enough Holy Ghost in my church. There's enough Holy Ghost available in my generation. There's enough of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. I wonder if we could all clap our hands as though it's the sound of chains falling, as though it's just the sound of deliverance coming, as though it's the sound of miracles happening. Yeah. You may be seated for just a minute. I heard a great apostle, prophet, man of God. He's since passed away, but his name is Billy Cole, and he's seen so many miracles and hundreds of thousands receive the Holy Ghost. And he was teaching, and he said, I fight so much negativity. No matter what's going on, I can see the negative side of it. And I thought, my goodness, how could somebody with that much faith fight that kind of negativity? It's because we all got flesh. And flesh wants to sign you up from the moment you're born and say, you work for me now. I'm going to rule you. Even our smallest children fight the works of the flesh. You might run into teenagers that don't want to do homework, but they can't resist the working of the flesh. And I see Billy Cole as a great example, as someone that was able to fight his flesh. Take this negativity and shove it. I'm not working for you. Every day, I'm going to dig out time in prayer and time in your word until I am literally working for God. So I might talk about envy or lust or negativity, and you might say, oh, you missed me today, Pat. No, no, you won't get anything out of the message if that's your attitude. But if you can take from what I've talked about and just investigate, is there an area of my life where it seems like every day I'm clocking in and I'm clocking out? It might be jealousy. I'm clocking in. It doesn't matter what else I'm doing. I'm working for the flesh, and I can't help be jealous. It might be fear. It doesn't matter. Every day I'm clocking in, and it seems like I'm fearful of this and fearful of that. I'm worried about what this one thinks, and I'm worried about what that one said. We got to get this into a situation today where we say, I will not work for the flesh anymore, because it never satisfies. I'm doing all this work and nothing's going to come of it. Instead, I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to give my life to prayer and his word. You know what Jesus said in his word in the book of Matthew chapter 11? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I feel like in just a moment, these altars are going to be open. And no matter where the flesh has you working like a dog, no matter where the flesh has you putting in overtime, don't you sit there and feel guilty or feel like everybody else is better than you. That's just the flesh lying to you. What you need to do is, when we stand in just a moment and come to the altar, you need to bring whatever that is, whatever work of the flesh where you've already got maybe a supervisory position, maybe you've gotten a raise or whatever. You bring that to the altar and you say, you know what, God, I'm so weary. I'm so worn out. I'm so tired of this negativity. I'm so tired of this lust. I'm so tired of this fear. I'm so tired of whatever it is. God, I'm tired of it. And he's saying, just come to me. Come to me, because listen, I got a new job for you. I got a new place for you in my kingdom. You know what? The harvest is white and the laborers are few. You don't have to work for the flesh when you can work for the kingdom of God. And you know what? As you sit there in your pew, you have no idea what God can do if you would work for him. You have no idea how satisfying it can be. Would you stand with me right now? I've asked some men and women, young people, to come and be our altar workers for today. I want them to come and stand where I've asked them to stand and face the congregation. While we bow our heads, I want us right now, everybody in the building, altar workers, saints, and guests, I want everybody in the building to take a few moments and say, Jesus, I'm quitting right now the works of the flesh. I can't do it by myself, but I believe I'm going to get something by the Spirit that's going to help me quit this job, quit the working of the flesh. Come on, before anybody moves to the altar, I wonder right where you are. Even these altar workers are praying with me as well. Would you repent? Jesus, if there's anything in my life that keeps me from more of you, would you forgive me right now? Jesus, if there's anything in my life that keeps me from the miracle that you have for me right now, forgive me, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus, if there's anything in my life that would, if the flesh has me working overtime in every area, Lord, that's holding me back and I'm unsatisfied. I'm a Christian, but I'm frustrated. I go to church, Lord, but there's something missing. I want you to know, God, I'm ready for my miracle today. So cleanse me, forgive me, cleanse me, forgive me, cleanse me, forgive me, help me, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus, and everything, everything that was purchased at Calvary, I know is available in this moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the front of this building. These are just brothers and sisters that have said, I'll pray the prayer of faith over anybody that needs a miracle. In just a moment when I ask you to come, you can come and you can tell them, hey, pray with me about this. Or you can say, look, it's personal, it's private, but would you agree with me right now that God's going to give me a miracle? I don't know what the miracles are. I don't know what the needs are. I don't believe God showed me, but I tell you what God has shown me. If there's any area in your life where you are not satisfied, where you are frustrated, where you feel like there's got to be more, if you would let one of these believers pray with you right now, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you. You may say, well, I got the Holy Ghost when I was younger. I've been speaking in tongues all service. Then maybe you just need a raise. Maybe you just need another refilling. Maybe you just need a touch of the Spirit. Would you come right now? If you need a miracle of any kind, whether you're a part of this church family or you're a guest today, would you come to the altar right now? And would you say, would you help me pray? I'm believing God for an answer. I'm believing God for a victory. If you have never received the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken with other tongues, would you come up here quickly? If you need a healing, if you need a job, if you need a blessing, would you come up here quickly? If there's an area of your life where there's a struggle, where the works of the flesh are defeating you, would you come up here quickly and say, come on, somebody help me pray. Somebody help me believe God, because there's a miracle in this house. There's a victory in this house. There's a victory in this house. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot.